All right, so let me just introduce today's subjects, and we're going to talk about faith. Today's subject is about faith, but I thought that it would be, we talked a little bit on Wednesday, obviously, so I want to kind of build on to what we have started. We're going through the book of Moses' books. We already have been traveling with the Hebrews. We are in the desert. They are about a little over a year later. They have come to the edges of the land of promised land. And here we are now. We're going to follow up from here, and we're going to learn from Joshua and Caleb's faith. And faith needed for the promised land is the, let's use that as a title. I think it's good enough. And we need faith to enter into our promised land. Our promised land is not a physical land. We're not moving into Israel. We want to go to this new heaven and the new earth. We want to go to this new city where architect and builder is God, called heaven. I'm going to make 3 points today from this very passage that we looked at, which is Numbers 13 and 14. There's two chapters. I'm going to make 3 points there. We noticed that Caleb and Joshua has what it takes to make it to the promised land. How did they get this faith? Why do they have this faith? Right? And the entire nation, 600,000 men, cannot make it because they don't have the kind of faith that Joshua and Caleb has. So how do we get this faith? My first point is faith comes from hearing. The Bible says that. And we're going to explore that in a little bit. What does it mean by hearing, from hearing? And I put the subtitle underneath, spending time with the Father. Faith comes from hearing the Bible, the Word of God, and also spending time with the Father. That's when we hear the Word of God. So that's our first point. Second point is faith is contagious. What is it contagious? When I'm sick, I can give my germs to you. When I'm faithful, I'll pass my faith to you. So faith is contagious. We see that with Joshua and Caleb. Even though they are unable to pass their faith to the 600,000 that they're walking with, but they're going to be able to pass the faith to the next generation, the next 600,000. We're going to see how they pass their faith to the next generation. We're going to explore that together. Number three, without real faith, you will not make it. I use the word real faith, and we're going to clarify what it means to have just faith, and we're going to talk about what it means to have real faith. Without it, you're not going to make it. I'm not going to see you in heaven. You're not going to see me in heaven. And we're going to explore this a little bit more in detail as we journey this morning. Again, we're building on what's happening. This is in chapter 13. Israelites are coming to the edge of the promised land. It's a little over a year. They've seen a number of miracles. They choose 12 leaders from every tribe to represent them. So we know that Joshua is one of those from the tribe of Ephraim. We know that Caleb is one of those guys presenting Judah. And we have another 10 men presenting the other tribes. They're sent into the promised land to spy it out. And they go into the land, and they spy the land. They spend 40 days in the land, and they come back with lots of its fruit. So two men carry the grapes back to the camp with figs and pomegranate to report on the abundance of the land that God has promised them. And they give their report. What does the report says? So I put three different colors here. We went, the yellow, verse 27, we went to the land where you send us. It truly flows with milk and honey. So the confirmation is true. This is a good land. But the red ones, I put them. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. I'm jumping down to 31. They're stronger than we. I'm jumping down. And all the people whom we saw are men of great stature. Verse 33, there we saw the giants, the descendants of Anak, came from the giants. We even see people that are like enormous in size. Their cities are fortified. And the conclusion is the blue. We are not able to go up against the people. So they come back. The land is good, but there's a problem. We cannot do this task. We're not able to do this because the enemy is stronger than we are, and there are even giants there. And that's the reality. That's whether perceived or not, that's how they see it. And all the members of the community raised their voices and wept aloud. Men, can you imagine to walk into that camp that day? Men and women, old and young, are just wailing and weeping. All the Israelites grumbled. Grrr. The whole assembly said. Ironically, it didn't even occur to me last Wednesday. Not only the 12 tribes are not going to make it, the 10 tribes are not going to make it, and their leaders are going to be killed, but even the people that Caleb and Joshua represented didn't make it. So even though they were the leaders, they could not convince their own people to do this task that God gave them. Isn't that something? Even the people that they were representing, Ephraim and Judah, the tribes of them, joined in this grumbling and the complaints and became part of this, the members of all the members of the community. So they will not make it. And the green I put there, we should choose a leader and go back to Egypt. Listen, just like, what are we doing in the desert? This is hot. We are like, there's no food here. You know, we cannot get into the promised land. The enemy's too big. The cities are fortified. Why don't we just go back to where came from? And Moses, Aaron, Caleb, and Joshua fall down to their knees and then says, look, if the Lord is pleased with us, he will lead us into that land. He will give it to us. Do not be afraid of the people of the land because we will devour them. Their protection is gone. But the Lord is with us. Do not be afraid of them. So they're trying to encourage people to have faith. And the Israelites are thinking, verse 10, let's kill these guys. They're just problematic here. They're like, let's just stone them to death. The question is, how do we get this kind of faith? We talked about this. I'm just reminding you because an introduction to today's subject so we can build on what we have talked about. Is it optional to have this kind of faith? The answer is, sounds like, man, these are great people. They are great faith. I'm never going to be like them. But if you didn't have their faith, you're not going to get into the promised land. Nobody else got into the promised land. It's not optional to have this kind of faith. You have to have this kind of faith. And I'm going to try to convince you by the end of the next half an hour. So the giants are in the land. It's a reality. The towns are, the cities are fortified. So I was just thinking about this. This is a parallel. This is a parallel. What's happening here? Like Joshua and Caleb are going to meet this formidable enemy, the giants, if there were giants. It's going to be, there's going to be a chapter two. David is going to also do the same thing because he knows that his forefathers already have done this. Goliath was a leftover from these giants. And that he wasn't the only one. There were several more. In 2 Samuel chapter 21, 22, talks about the other ones. There are 3-4 more of those that the Israelites had to take on still 500 years later. So David perhaps knew these two characters. Again, I'm going back to our 3 points. Faith comes from hearing. Spending time with the Father is essential. Fate is contagious. Without real fate, you will not make it. And I'll stop here for 1 second. You know how Jesus wanted to take the last communion with his disciples? He says, I've longed to take this supper with you guys. I felt like when I was preparing this message, I longed to share this message with you. I felt like, you know what, this is exactly what we need to hear. I was just glad that you guys are going to be here to hear it. Because I feel like this is like the, you almost cannot do it without this. And we got to get this, whatever this is today. And I'll try to make it very clear. May God be with me as I try to do it. So faith comes from hearing the word and spending time with the Father. So Hebrews 11:1 is a definition of faith. Now, faith is the confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This word assurance, it's a related word to sure, being sure of what we do not see. How can you be sure of what you do not see? We know that there's a God. We know that there's life after death. We know Jesus was the Son of God. We are sure of the things that are written about him in the Bible. We're talking about Jesus. We're sure that he died and he was crucified and resurrected. We're sure. Now, faith is the confidence in what we hope for. We're hoping that we're going to get to that house with many rooms, and Jesus has been preparing a room for you there. And you have the surety about what you do not see. So that's our definition for faith. The Bible gives it to us. I didn't define it. And then same writer, perhaps Paul, Romans 10:17. So faith is by hearing, and hearing is through the word of Christ. Man, you want to have faith? You have to hear. And hearing the words of Jesus, the Gospels, is the apex. Meaning, so if you read the, let's say, the Old Testament and all the letters, is going to give us faith. But just reading about the Gospels is the apex of it. It's the top of it, the pinnacle of it. So with Jesus, through Jesus' teachings, through Gospels, we, the Gentile, came into faith. Yes, we can read Genesis. It will help us to have faith. Yes, we will read Exodus and all the other books of the Bible. It will help us to have faith. People have faith with them. But really, Jesus is the pinnacle of our faith, the apex of our faith. So faith is by hearing. So you want to have more faith? You have to hear. And today, you're hearing it. Tomorrow, in your quiet time, you're going to be hearing it from God when you open up your scriptures. You're going to be opening it up, and you're going to be hearing the words of God, whether it's from Jesus' words or from anywhere else in the Bible. In Luke chapter 4, verse 3 and 4, and the devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread. But Jesus answered him, saying, it is written, men shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Man, this is a perplexing sentence. Jesus says, man doesn't live on bread alone, but by the word of God feeds this man. So the man needs not only the luncheon and the dinner and the breakfast, but the man also needs the word of God. Why? Why does he need the word of God? Because his soul that is within him, that's the substance, the sustenance, that's the food, that is the supper for the soul. Without it, you will die. I guarantee you that people that don't read their Bibles on a regular basis, they do not have strong faith. I guarantee you. Let's run the statistics and see how much they read versus their faith. You will see that there's a strong correlation. You have to be in the Word. You have to feed your soul with the Word of God. Man does not live on bread alone. We have already experienced that all of our lives. We're not children. We have lived without the Word of God. We just only lived on bread alone for a very long time. But our faith depends on the Word of God feeding our souls. So what is the faith? Being sure of what we do not see. How do we get it? It's by hearing it, by reading it through the Word of God. And that will feed your soul. We have two examples. Faith comes from hearing the word, and also I put the subtitle spending time with the Father, right? Let's explore that a little bit. So here we are in Exodus 33, verse 11. The Lord would speak to Moses face to face as one speaks to a friend. Then Moses would return to the camp, but his young aide, Joshua, son of Nun, did not leave the tent. Then why was Nun there? Why was Joshua there in the tent? He was hungry. He was thirsty for God. And then Moses leaves. Joshua, are you coming? Nope. I'm not satisfied yet. I want to talk to God more. Look, faith doesn't come on its own. He was close to God. He was spending time with the Father. And then we have Caleb to talk about. How did Caleb get his faith? So this is in Joshua 14, verse 8, like the second section of that verse. This is his words. I, however, follow the Lord, my God, wholeheartedly. I don't know if you notice, like he even doesn't call I, however, follow the Lord God wholeheartedly. He says, my God. He owns the God. My God, I followed him with wholeheartedly. Now then, just as the Lord promised, he has kept me alive for 45 years since the time he said to Moses while Israel moved about in the wilderness. So here I am today, 85 years old. I'm still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I'm just as vigorous to go out to battle now as I was then. Now give me this hill country that the Lord promised me that day. You yourself heard that the Anakites were there, and their cities were large and fortified. But the Lord helping me, I'll drive them out, just as he said. Because he's so close to God, give me the hard part of the land that needs to be conquered. Give me the fortified cities. Give me the city where the giants are living, the Anakites. And how am I going to drive them out? I put a little green around it on the bottom of the scriptures. The Lord helping me. Am I going to do it? Absolutely not. I'm 85 years old, man. Even though I may feel like a Superman today, I just can't do it. They're bigger and the cities are fortified. But the Lord will help me. Why? Because I love him. He's my God and I follow him wholeheartedly. And he knows my name. He's going to walk with me into this land. He's going to drive them out. You don't think it's essential for you to be in relationship with the Father? It's absolute. There is no other way. You will not have faith, real faith, unless you're in relationship with the Father. And again, if I'm talking to you as a foreign language to you, we can clarify it. This is the fellowship where we talk about the practicals of also what we were talking about. But we have to have a relationship with the Father. That's how your faith is going to come, is going to grow. He's going to give you more and more faith through his word in that relationship. He's going to build you into this person that some of these two guys are now, Joshua and Caleb, giants of faith. But they're the only one who are going to make it. Right? The difference between the Caleb and Caleb and Joshua and the Israelites. This is the report of the Israelites. And the blue is we're not able to go up against the people. Absolutely, you're not able to go up against the people. What does Caleb and Joshua says? The Lord is with us. He will give it to us. He will lead us into that land. If the Lord is pleased with us, their protection is gone. They're counting on God. So the people of faith are counting on God. People, regular people, they're counting on their own strength. And I have to tell you, you just walked into a spiritual battle where you cannot win. The enemy is stronger than you are. You're dealing with a giant here. You have no chance. If the Lord is not with you, if you don't have the kind of faith of Caleb and Joshua, say, if the Lord is with us, if the Lord is with us, we will do it with him. The Israelites don't have the faith, so they are thinking like, we just can't do that. And absolutely right. They're absolutely right. So the previous people were not able to, God will. So the faith people, God will. People of that don't have faith, we're not able to. So that's our first point. Faith comes from hearing. You have to have a relationship with God. Number two is faith is contagious. Right? We talked about that a little bit. Faith is contagious. Let's talk about that a little bit more now. Let's explore this. So in Joshua 23, verse 9, so we have three examples I picked today to show you how faith is contagious. So we're going to talk these three points together, sub-points. So in Joshua 23, verse 9, this is like at the end of conquest of the land of Canaan. This is what he says. Joshua tells the Israelites, "The Lord has driven out before you great and powerful nations. To this day, no one has been able to withstand you. One of you routs 1,000. Because the Lord your God fights for you, just as he promised. So be careful to love the Lord your God." And what is Joshua saying? Because the Lord fights for you, one of you can actually take on 1,000. So this next generation, Joshua has passed this faith that we see with him to the next generation. Now these people are going into this promised land and they're taking on thousands. And this language, if it wasn't true, they would say, hey, what are you exaggerating? He wasn't exaggerating. So we see that faith is contagious. Joshua and Caleb passes on to the people that are in the next generation. And then we have this David's mighty man. So we know the story. Everybody knows the story, I hope, where this giant that is almost 10 feet is facing, 1 Samuel chapter 13, 14, 15, 16, is facing the Israelite army. The Israelites are frightened. And there's almost 1 million men eligible for army. Not one man in a country of 100 million soldiers can take on Goliath. And David comes up, says, I can take on him. God is on my side. My God, I'm going to cut your head today because God is going to give you into my hand because you have defied God. So this is the beginning of David's journey faith, perhaps, with Goliath and all that. But let's, in 2 Samuel, in the next book, verse 23, these are the names of David's mighty warriors. Josheb Basbeth, a Tachemenite, was chief of the three. He raised his spear against 800 men whom he killed in one encounter. Is this real, man? Is this real? The guy takes on 800 men? Joshua said to the Israelites, one of you takes 1,000. And the Bible tells that this guy takes on 800 men. Let me ask you a question. Where was this fellow when Goliath was defying the armies of Israel and Saul's armies? Where was he? Was he not born? He was cowering with the rest of the Israelites. When he saw David going out to the battle against Goliath, man, after you saw him cutting the head? Wow. Is this even possible? Is this for real? Is this for real? And he wasn't the only mighty man. David has more than 30 of these guys. So they rise up in their faith. Why? Because David is passing. It's contagious. His faith is contagious. It's getting onto this cowards, early on cowards, are not becoming mighty. These people that their forefathers, their fathers were cowards. They said, we cannot do these things. Their children now, learning from Joshua and Caleb, now they're taking on the thousands. What about Jesus? Jesus and the 12. This is chapter 14. Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I've been doing. They will do even greater things than these, because I'm going to the Father, and I'll do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, I will do it.
What book is that?
John chapter 4. Is my head on the way, man?
John chapter 14.
I'm sorry, John 14, verse 12. Why didn't you tell me that my head is on the way? Anyway, so we have Jesus coming in, and this fisherman start following him. Man, they're giving up their lives. What happened to this people's faith? They're willing to go to all nations, unqualified, untrained, illiterate man, going to the world to preach righteousness. How? It's Jesus' faith. It's contagious. He passed on his faith. He died. He was crucified. He was buried. He resurrected. They saw it with their own eyes, all three stages of it. They go, wow, this is for real? We want the same thing that Jesus has. We will do exactly what he told us. Faith is contagious. I put three things up there in the title: light, salt, and yeast. Man, you walk into a dark room, there's no light in the room, right? As soon as you turn on the light, everybody can see. You are that person now. That's your job now. You walk into a room, you light up the whole place. You're just emitting your light to everywhere. Jesus calls you a salt. Tasteless food, you throw a little bit of salt, and then if it's not enough, you put a little more salt. What happens? Delicious. You flavor the whole world. And you sanitize. The person that comes around you starts to watch his mouth. Starts to be careful about the way he acts. You're already disinfecting this person. You're not even like asking him not to curse sometimes. They're learning that, man, this guy doesn't like curses because he's a man of God. Already, you're disinfecting and you're flavoring. What about yeast? What's the function of the yeast? You have done pizza. You take it into a big sum of dough and you throw it in there. It just works through it, right? Just kind of, what's the word?
It expands.
It expands. It affects the entire thing. Be close to God. Have a lot of faith. You're going to have a great impact in people's life. It's contagious. It will pass on. All of a sudden, the people that didn't care about it will start caring. All of a sudden, the people that didn't pay attention will start paying attention. People that didn't take it seriously will start taking seriously. Your faith is contagious. Without real faith, but this is my third point. Without real faith, you will not make it. And let's talk about some of the elements, dimensions of this faith. First of all, real faith is rare. Real faith. I'm not talking about faith. I'm talking about real faith. I'm going to clarify this as we journey in this one. What is, first of all, what does it mean real faith is rare? Well, you have the entire nation of Israel, and there are two guys says we can't do it. That sounds very rare to me. Don't you think? That's very rare. That's the first thing. Real faith is rare. You're not going to find it a lot. The second point, you'll be tested with fire. And this is where it becomes relevant, that you have real faith or you have just faith. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11 through 14, "For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work. of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. Okay, this is what he's saying. Let me just try to break it up for you. So we are, as disciples of Jesus, trying to help other people to build on one foundation. You're building a house. And what's the foundation? Call it out if you want. Jesus. Alone. Jesus alone. Not some flavored version of Jesus. Not some diluted version of Jesus. Just Jesus is the foundation. Not plus, Jesus plus something else. Right? Some denominational teachings, which we have so many of today. Jesus is the only foundation you can build on, number one. Then you can choose, you as a person here in this room, you can choose to be either the precious stone, gold, silver, or you can be a wood, hay, and straw. But God will run you through fire. And what will happen to the gold and silver and the precious stones when they run through the fire versus the hay, straw, and wood runs through the fire? What's going to happen? The wood, hay, and straw is going to burn up. There's nothing to show. That means you're not going to make it to the promised land. You're tested to see if you have real faith. What is a real faith? Abraham asked to sacrifice his son. The most precious thing he has, would he do it? Caleb and Joshua, go up into the land with the giants, take on these fortified cities. That is the fire. Are they going to do it or are they going to cower? If you're gold, if you're silver, the fire is going to refine you. You're going to become even more pure. If you're precious stone, don't worry about it. The precious stone, I was looking at it recently. Man, the diamond is forged at 2,500 to 4,000 degrees. 100 times the atmospheric pressure. So the pressure that you feel on your body, the diamond is formed, the carbon's in it, at 100 times the pressure. 100,000 times the pressure. So he's forged, the precious stones are forged in fire and pressure. And this is the kind of people that God is looking for. And they're rare. They're rare. They're gold. They're silver. They're precious stones. The wood, hay, and the straw. Oh, man, we do have faith. Yeah, God is going to show you whether you have faith in the day of fire. You'll be tested. Your house is going to be tested. And somebody may say, oh, man, I'm like Peter. This is my next point. Apostles might have started with a little faith, but eventually they gave up their lives. Great faith. You may start with a little faith, but you have to grow in faith. What does that mean? Peter might have doubted. The disciples have doubted in the beginning of their ministry, but the end of their ministry, they're ready to give up their lives. Their faith has increased to a point that they're willing to give up the most precious they have, just like Abraham, for God. Their faith has grown. When they're tested, they don't fail. I use this last point I have here, Noah and Joshua and Caleb and disciples of Jesus and narrow gate. Jesus says the narrow gate, only a few will find it. In the times of Noah, only 8 was floating up and everybody else died. God did not spare the rest. He did not lower the bar for them. God didn't lower the bar for Joshua and Caleb and the Israelites. Only the ones that were qualified or had the real faith went into the promised land. Only the ones in the times of Jesus are going to make it into the promised land. Jesus says only a few will find it. How few? I don't know how to define it, but you have to have this real faith. You will be tested. And I'm not talking about the Lutheran faith, Martin Luther's faith. I'm not talking about this Protestant faith. I'm going to throw a little bit of in there. I'm talking about the faith that will be tested in fire. And James talks about how, men, show me your faith with your with your life, with your works. And these characters we're talking about have lived up to it. You have to show your faith with your life, with your deeds. In conclusion, I told you I wanted to share this really. You want to grow in your faith? You got to feed the soul. You have to have a relationship with God. You can't. If you miss it, you're just going to be a religious person. I'm telling you, reading the Bible is not going to necessarily, give you the faith. But without reading it, you're not going to have it. So you have to be in the Word with God, Him teaching you in that relationship. You must have it. And if you are that person, oh man, you're in for a ride. We're going to have incredible lives. We watch superhero movies and Marvel comics and, man, you are the superhero. The people of faith are incredible because God is going to use you to do some incredible stuff. And I cannot even imagine at the moment what God is going to do with you and with me. If we can be this kind of people that love God, walk closely with Him, let Him live in us and be filled with the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit, you're going to radiate. You're going to be an aroma to the world. You're going to be the yeast. You're going to flavor. You're going to disinfect. Your faith is going to just radiate to every place you go. Not everybody's going to respond, but the ones that are going to respond with the David and his mighty men, he counts as 1.1 million soldiers, but there are only 33 of them or 35 of them that are mighty, have grown in their faith to take on another guy. Everybody, the whole army is running. This guy stands in a lentil field and takes on 300 men. Like, this is like one of those superhero movies. Like, you got to watch how he takes on hundreds of people. Can you imagine watching a movie? This guy's like with a sword is swinging. It's unbelievable, but that's God. You have God on your scale, it's going to change everything. And my third point was, without real faith, you will not make it. And your real faith will be tested in fire. You have to be a gold. You have to be a silver. You have to be a precious stone that is even forged in further fire and further pressure. And God is looking for those people. Those are the people that we know their names in the Bible. People like Enoch that walked with God for 300 years. Noah that was blameless, that he would obey God and build this ridiculous wooden structure without knowing how in the world. And 100 questions could have come into his mind. And like with great cost. I mean, think about this thing. It cost him probably all of his everything. And the disciples and the countless other people that have shown that they were the gold, they were the silver, they were the precious stone. And don't be a wood. Don't be a hay. Don't be a straw. You're not going to make it. You're gonna be tested through the fire. And you're going to be like, it's just going to burn up. Because you don't have substance, man. And again, everything I'm saying, I'm hoping that I can hear it myself too. So don't think I'm looking from a mountain over here. But my encouragement is, as I conclude this, let's be this kind of people that we will go into the promised land, our promised land. And not only that, we're going to be contagious. We're going to take so many people with us there, our loved ones. We're going to be passing it on. We're going to be like our germs. We're going to be passing our faith, and they're going to start to become more and more faithful because they're seeing the power of God in your life. Not in your words, in your life. In the way you conduct yourself, they will see, and they will see the fruit in your life. They're going to say, man, I want this. I want this. I want to be part of this. I want this relationship that he has with God. I'll conclude there. And let's meditate on this coming week.